ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. President Biden will be in Israel Wednesday meeting with leaders about the war. His administration is now preparing a foreign aid package for $100 billion, which would include assistance for Israel. But the president will no longer meet with Arab leaders in Jordan following the deadly strike on a hospital in Gaza. Gaza's health ministry says at least 500 were killed.
The White House says President Biden will postpone his travel to Jordan and his planned meeting with Jordan's King Abdullah, President Abbas of the Palestinian Authority, and President Sisi of Egypt. The canceled stop comes after hundreds were killed after a strike on a hospital in Gaza. Abbas has declared 3 days of mourning. The Israel Defense Forces denied responsibility for the attack, saying a failed launch by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad caused the blast. The White House says the president sends his deepest condolences for the innocent lives lost in the explosion and looks forward to consulting these leaders in person soon, but he'll remain engaged with them over the coming days. Karen Travers, ABC News.
This is ABC News. Thousands of Detroit casino workers are set to go on strike, a first in the city of Detroit's history. The 3,700 workers include casino engineers, chefs, dealers, valets, and barbacks. The most popular streaming service in the world is getting into the live sports game. ABC's Jason Nathanson is in Hollywood with details.
Netflix announced Tuesday it will air its first ever live sports event, but it's not football or basketball or soccer, it's golf. A brand new event called the Netflix Cup. It'll take place in Las Vegas the week the Formula One Grand Prix comes to Sin City as part of the festivities leading up to the race. And it'll feature racers from the Netflix series Formula One Drive to Survive playing with golfers from the series Full Swing. Other streamers are already in the live sports space, from Prime Video to Peacock. The Netflix Cup airs November 14th. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Chicago police put out an alert warning of a serial arsonist targeting Halloween decorations. There have been at least 8 fires so far this month they think may be connected. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Tuesday, October 17th. Greg Bach is on the board, and my Tuesday co-host from Devil's Advocates Radio. You can hear them across the Civic Media Radio Network every weekday from 4 to 6, Dominic Salvia. And I have to encourage people to watch us on the live stream. You can either do it on YouTube or Twitter. We dance, we sing, I have my eye rolls, and you can also see Dominic's very fancy backdrop this morning.
He looks like he is rowing across the lake.
What?
I have a fancy schmancy
great
man.
Green screen here at the Milwaukee Hidden Studio. Good to be with you, Jane. As always, great. Good to see you, man. Thanks.
Hey, coming up at 11 o'clock, I just want to tell folks, next month, November 5th, we will be falling back. Daylight saving time will come to an end. And the Sunshine Protection Act never got anywhere last year, but I want to know how people feel about it, because I have very strong opinions.
Oh,
you do?
I know.
It's weird how that works. Really, shocking. Jane's got strong opinions.
Yeah, I know. It's going to shock you, but we want to get your take on daylight saving time. Should we keep it? Should it go away? What should we do? Should we just turn the lights off forever? That is coming up at 11 o'clock. 10:30, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be joining us. And then at 11:30, we have a special guest. There's a women's conference happening in Milwaukee this weekend. Rachel O'Leary Carmona will be joining us at 11:30 to talk about the women's conference and what you can expect if you're going to be going to that. Maybe, you know, you would consider going if you learn a little bit more about it. But we are going to start things off, Dominic, and you and I connected by phone just a little bit ago. This kind of got lost on Friday. It kind of got buried, and there's so much news all the time. It's just easy to gloss over some of these things. But we're going to talk about the Republican efforts to get rid of Megan Wolf, who is the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, because something happened on Friday that's kind of important, Dom.
Jane, this is very important, and I think it goes to the core of what some of the issues that I have with our Republican friends. Lots of articles on this. I saw the one at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday, Molly Beck,
it's
the headline.
It's so good. Molly Beck is so good.
She's awesome. Despite public comments, Republicans concede in legal filing they lack grounds to oust Megan Wolf.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I know. Excuse me? Yeah.
Megan, we've been going around and round and around and round about this, man. People are getting fired up, you know, constitutionality, you know, is she in the position? Can they throw her out? All these things, Jane. And then when it comes down to it, when the rubber has to hit the road, right? And they have to file a legal brief and be honest about it. Well, at that point, only then do they say, well, yeah, nope, actually, she's in the job legitimately, and we can't really do anything about it.
And we just did this because we wanted to muck things up. Okay, they didn't necessarily admit that, but they said this effort to oust Megan Wolf was merely symbolic.
Is that what it was?
It was just symbolic, Dominic. It was
performative politics.
Yeah,
huh?
It was for no reason at all except to keep their base fired up, thinking that the election was stolen, which we have found time and time and time again, it was not stolen.
And this goes back to remember when she was up for what reappointment, and the Dems played it smart. They didn't vote, and so it was 3-0. So Republicans, and they said, but they didn't have a quorum, right? They needed a majority. They needed 4 out of 6, not 3 out of 6. And even though that math wasn't there, even though it wasn't recognized as legal, quote unquote, the Republicans continued to move forward. Again, a little bit in the piece from Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader, back at the time, they could have voted no, they didn't vote no. That would have been a tie vote. But it was unanimous. 3-0 is a 2/3 vote. I mean, literally, the words came out of the mouth. 3-0 is a 2/3 vote. Well, there's supposed to be 6 people voting. That would be, 50%. That's not 2/3, sir. So the whole thing, obviously ridiculous. And all the bantering and articles and discussions about it at the time, from then until now. And as Molly Beck points out in her fine reporting, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in Monday's filing, though, LeMahieu claimed the opposite, admitting that the commission's 3-0 vote on Wolf did not effectuate an appointment. Wolf is lawfully in her current position as a holdover, and that the Senate has no power to act on an appointment where there is no pending appointment. Now, this is an updated version from what we saw yesterday, Jane. Let me throw this out there.
Okay.
LeMahieu, in a statement on Monday, maintained he had not contradicted his past comments.
No, of course not.
No. The situation has been complicated procedurally, and the situation has changed a number of times. But since June, Senator LeMahieu has issued statements consistent with the filing. I'm not so sure about that, Jane.
Well, and wasn't Robin Voss just on WISN-TV on Upfront on Sunday kind of contradicting the filing that was released on Friday?
Yeah, Beck also points this out. Legislative leaders said in the filing that the Legislature Joint Committee on Legislative Organization has no power to appoint interim administrator while Wolf is holding over, even though Voss on Sunday said the committee should begin the process of replacing her.
Wait, what?
And Robin Voss knew what was in the filings, right? So he knew it. He gets out there and he's saying this on Sunday that we should start the process. But when they file the paper, when the rubber hits the road, they have to be honest. They admit they have no power to appoint an interim administrator while Administrator Wolf is holding over.
It's just remarkable to me that you can contradict yourself within a day. And it's just like, yeah, well, this is just how we do business now. Why would your constituents believe anything you say?
That's the great point. And this becomes, politicians lie, the whole thing. And I'm not going to do a both sides of them. I think we're in a different spot right now, my personal opinion. But even if you accept the fact that that's the case, then where's the self-respect for the Republicans and the MAGAs and the GOP? You have this guy up there, telling you. And it's not just Voss. It's also LeMahieu. It's also Kapinga, right?
Right.
What they're telling you. Oh, we got to do something. She's there illegally, and this is wrong, and fired up. And when it comes down to it, no, that's not the case. And why would you, where's the self-respect? Really, would you, in a workplace situation, in a relationship situation, when is that ever acceptable? And why is it acceptable in a political situation?
Well, and not to mention all the taxpayer dollars involved in these lawsuits that are pointless, right?
No doubt. Right.
It all costs money.
Josh Gall filed, right? Josh is the response to Josh Gall. He's the Attorney General, State of Wisconsin. Well, he gets paid by the tax dollars, right?
Yeah.
Oh, who are the defendants in this case? Well, of course, it's the Republicans, LeMahieu and Voss and Kapinga and these other folks. Well, they have, using either state resources, but probably external resources to pay for attorneys, also taxpayer dollars,
right?
The whole judiciary system itself is a socialist dollars going towards our justice system. Also, So we pay, and I don't know what they're trying to do. I imagine they just want to keep their base. We're funding, we're subsidizing the Republicans, keeping their base fired up on lies. And that's problematic, Jane.
Absolutely. And you make a really good point that all of Wisconsin taxpayers are funding performative politics, right? Because it's just
wasting the court's time.
Yeah, it's just theater. They knew that they did not have standing to oust her or replace her. Oh, let's go ahead and file it anyway. Let's just waste a little more time. Let's drag this out. Let's keep feeding the doubt that our elections are a mess. Our elections are not a mess. Our elections are not rigged. There are not ballots coming in from, where did they say that they were from, Venezuela or whatever? Hugo Chavez. I mean, the loony conspiracies. It's astonishing. And yet there is a certain part of the electorate that just laps it up.
It's a unhealthy relationship. And I mean this sincerely. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to go say, you know, cult deprogramming kind of thing. But if you look to the Republicans and the GOP here in the state of Wisconsin and as your guide to what we should do or what you should do and how you should behave and what you should think as far as politics are concerned and those kinds of things, well, then they're steering you wrong. And if you continue to accept that, even if it's right in front of your face and we're telling you it's in the paper, you can really do a side-by-side, read the legal document, and then watch what Voss said on Sunday.
Right.
Those things are contradictory. I mean, exactly 100% contradictory. Both of them cannot be true. One of them is a falsehood. One of them is a lie, and I'm betting it's not the one that they filed with a court.
Again, just to reiterate this, and this is from a column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for Molly Beck, who does a great job. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Senate President Chris Kapenga admitting in a new court filing their efforts to remove Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf was symbolic, and that Wolf is legally in her current position. So it was enough. It was for nothing. It was for grins and giggles.
Well, that's what you do when you have absolutely no platform to run on or try to get done. Nothing.
Well, and their policies are not popular, and we've talked about that before as well.
Right.
So people don't like their policies. So instead of changing their policies, they change the way they just make it more difficult for people to vote, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to make it harder for you to cast your ballot. I don't care if you don't like my policies. Again, stick our fingers in our ears, go la, 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 and keep getting paid and keep getting per diems and keep popping popcorn, and life is good.
Other people's money. I mean, what effort? I mean, literally, I mean, the court has nothing else to do. Pardon me. You know, we don't have, as a state, actual problems and actually money in the bank that we can use to solve some of these real problems, real life problems that we have. And they're wandering around doing symbolic, you know, dances to what end? Of course, to keep the base motivated. On your dime, Jane. On your dime, Greg. On your dime, Republicans. They're using you.
Yes.
They're abusing you. They're lying to you, man.
You should take that to heart. It should be upsetting to people. People should be, I don't know, not happy about this.
I'm upset for them, Jane.
Oh, and you do a really good upset too, Dominic. All right. We're coming up against the break. You can always chime in. You can text and or call 844-967-2789. If you're watching a live stream, you can also leave a comment there. We will be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All that pressure got you down.
When my daughter gets a cold, I have a secret weapon. DayQuil Kids Berry from Vicks. DayQuil Kids is specially formulated to treat kids' most bothersome cold and cough symptoms quickly. And the best part is that DayQuil Kids Berry
tastes really great.
Aren't you supposed to be resting?
Maybe. DayQuil Kids Berry. The Kids Berrylicious Daytime Congestion, Coughing, Stuffy Head, Stuffy Nose, Just for Kids. Medicine. Safe for kids 6 years plus.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 41. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 64. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow night. Lows level off around 49. Overcast skies. Turning cooler Thursday and Friday with highs from the mid-50s to the upper 50s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 40.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matthew Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Going right to the lines. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Professor. I wanted to bring up the idea. The whole thing about Jim Jordan and his perverted past, it doesn't matter to the Republicans. I mean, the leader of their party in the primary is a convicted rapist. And as long as I've been a voter, the number of Republicans that have come out as perverts and rapists and molesters, it's just staggering. And again, if it would happen in my party, I'd throw them under the bus right away. You know, I'm not defending Democrats on this, you know, but the big thing maybe would be somebody that has a persuasive voice, persuasive attitude, gets to those Republicans that will be running for Congress in states where Biden won. If they would vote to put Jim Jordan in, they're not going to do well in the future.
Right,
and I think their congressional people across the aisle need to talk about that.
Right. Good point. No, and I'm sure that's been made. But here's the funny little perverted twist to this. Jordan and Sean Hannity and others call these people. And these people go, well, I can't vote for you because I'm in, you know, you voted against Hurricane Sandy aid and 9/11 aid and all that. And you know what the response is? They say, well, to even get to the general, you have to win a primary. And if you don't vote for me, you're going to get a primary and Trump's going to come in and endorse your opponent. That's what they say. So these people are holding out, and there's a couple of them in very red seats, but they have the guts to hold out. They know the guy's a skunk, a lying skunk. It really is a lion skunk. And he was in on the insurrection. He should have been prosecuted. The only reason Jack Smith didn't prosecute him was because he wanted to isolate Trump and try to get it in before the election. Fannie Willis already prosecuted, 19 people for Pete's sake? I mean, you know, she easily could have prosecuted him. And frankly, Josh Call could prosecute him. He was in on a conspiracy. You don't have to be in Wisconsin to be part of the conspiracy. You don't have to be in Wisconsin to be part of the conspiracy, but nobody in Wisconsin is getting prosecuted. So look, this is a very, very changing situation. Listen, Andrew, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate it. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Gene?
Oh, what a glorious morning. I tell you, nightmares are coming often and fast. It's unbelievable. I can't believe what I'm seeing, man. I've watched for years, and I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I have never seen Republicans act like this. But this is not their party, and they've got to get these people out. All of the guys from Wisconsin was just sick. Jim Jordan, proud, and Van Orden, proud as a dickens. You know, Jim Jordan, loud and clear, after he gets sent calls from us to say, don't vote for that guy, he's a danger to our country. But have you ever heard of a group called NAB, N-A-B? It's something for veterans.
There are a lot of veterans organizations. I'm not sure. What do you got on that one, Gene? What's your point?
Okay, my point is I've been seeing an ad with Van Orden on it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, and, you know, and supporting the vets and stuff like that right during news time. I've seen it quite a few nights in a row here. And I just want to lay that by in case anybody heard and maybe want to have an alternate ad. But this is like the services they provide. It's really alarming. But thanks, Matt, for taking my call.
Gene, let me tell you what that may be. There are a lot of veterans organizations and they're legit, and none of them would run a partisan ad for a Democrat or a Republican. But I would not put it past Van Orden for his donors to cook up a kind of a vet thing and then say they're endorsing him when it's really just his donors. The other thing to keep in mind about Van Orden is, remember he laid the he called those high school pages little SHITs for lying on the floor and taking pictures of the dome. These are high school interns. And he tried to take a gun through an airport, in which is against the law in Iowa. And he used the F-bomb to them. Well, just this last week, he did the same thing. They had a briefing by the White House, a confidential briefing on some sensitive foreign policy things. And he was there. And he went absolutely ballistic, cursing them out because they're, you know, they're from Biden's White House, and he used the F-bomb. You can't do that. You're a congressman. What are you using the F-bomb for, high school kids? And then these were fairly young staffers of Biden that were going down to brief them on this stuff. And Crow, he's a Democrat from Colorado, got up, and here's what he said, quote, on behalf of all the congressmen in this room, we deeply apologize to you for that misconduct by Mr. Van Orden. And you know what happened? The whole room clapped, including the Republicans. Including the Republicans. The Republicans tried to sue, to sow violence, chaos, and fraud. And one way to do it is physically and death threats and all that. But another way is you have a very rough looking guy using the F-bomb to kids. Yeah, I mean, it puts them off. It scares them. They're momentarily silenced. It's a bullying tactic, and it's very, very wrong. It's a bullying tactic. It's very, very wrong. And I want, before we go to the next break, mention one other thing about Jim Jordan. One of the ways he's gotten some votes is because he's lied, and he said he's against Ukraine aid. He said, I'm not going to give any aid to Ukraine. When some people hit him on it, he goes, I may reconsider that. Yeah, I may put a joint bill with Israel and Ukraine. So some said, okay, we'll vote for you. Remember, Scott Walker told Labor in 2014, I will never sign a right-to-work bill. And then he turned around and stabbed them in the back when he got elected and they endorsed him. And in North Carolina, the Dems wanted to go to John Lewis's funeral. This is a while ago. But there was a very complicated piece of legislation up, which the Republicans didn't have a veto-proof majority. The Republicans go, oh, go up there. We won't convene the House. The minute they left town, they did convene the House. They then had a veto-proof majority, and they screwed them. A Republican in Congress will not tell the truth. His word is no good. We're going to a break.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. President Biden arriving in Israel Wednesday morning for what is now a shortened trip.
His meeting with Arab leaders in Jordan now postponed after the deadly blast at a hospital in Gaza killed at least 500 people. It'll be one of the main topics as Biden meets with Israeli leaders.
He's outraged, saddened. We're all shocked by the horrific loss of life. The numbers are staggering for a single event.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. Efforts to get Americans out of Gaza continue. ABC's Shannon Crawford.
Staff from the U.S. Embassy in Cairo are positioned as close to the border crossing between Gaza and Egypt as possible, ready to help Americans coming out and assist with aid going into the area if the gate is opened. According to a source familiar with negotiations, the U.S. is aiming to convince Cairo to open the crossing to foreign nationals for intervals spread across a few days. But at this point, Egypt will only comply if Israel allows humanitarian assistance to enter Gaza.
This is ABC News.
Damage from a flood or fire, sewage backup, mold remediation, or biohazard crisis? In all of these situations, you need help. That's why Midwest Restoration is here for you. They are absolute experts at coming in and taking care of anything that needs to be done. For them, it's not just a job, it's personal. Dedicated to lending a hand during your time of need. Midwest Restoration, call 920-MIDWEST. That's 920-MIDWEST. 24/7, 365. Always there when you need them most.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
By following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Welcome back to Bethlehem Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Joe Biden's going to Israel. I think he should be getting there fairly soon. It's a little later there than it is here, about 8 hours, I think. He's going to visit Israel on Wednesday, and then he's going to visit Jordan. He's going to meet with the Jordanian king, I guess. He's a king now. He's going to meet with an Egyptian representative. And he's going to meet with somebody from the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority is in the West Bank, not in Gaza. And they are people who in the past have turned down settlements, but they're not like ISIS and Hamas. And Biden's going to have a good conversation with him. He's going to talk about the release of the hostages, especially the American hostages. And he's going to talk about humanitarian aid for Gaza. This is very gutsy. Let me tell you something. The guy's 80 years old. You know, Trump is 77 years old. So let's not start, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. They're 3 years apart, number one. Number two, Biden is a lot more alert than Trump. Trump fulminates. He curses. He yells all the time. He mixes up his facts. I think he has early onset myself. I'm not a doctor, but I've seen people with early onset dementia get very, very combative and very sort of aggressive in their speech. And this is exactly what Trump reminds me of. But in any event, Biden has a lot of guts flying into a war zone like that. One of the Tennessee congressmen, a Republican, said something that really impacted me. He said, you know, I wish Joe wouldn't go. This is, you know, these people are fanatics over there. He said, my daddy fought the Japanese during the Second World War. And he once said to me, son, if you go somewhere where the people who want to kill you don't mind getting killed themselves, be very careful. So Joe Biden, my friend and president, I salute you. You're gutsy. Go over there. It's a real good reason not to have Jim Jordan, by the way, second in line to the presidency, I'll tell you that. The other thing is they've upped the numbers on the hostages, 199 hostages, the terrorists from Hamas affiliated with ISIS and with Islamic Jihad. Israel, in its bombings, which have been criticized, but I don't see that they had any choice. They killed the top Hamas commander, a number of them, and other key terror operatives. The main guy, Bilal al-Qedra, was the sadist that was involved in the worst sadistic attack on one of the Israeli villages. Others were also killed. Also, military compounds, command centers, anti-tank missile launch ports, observation posts, and so on. Now, let me give you the names, and these names are not familiar to me, but they may be familiar to experts. The highest ranking people in Hamas who were killed in these bombings right now was Al-Qadi, Q-A-D-I. They don't put a U after the Q over there. It's just Q-A-D-I. Avez Aid, Zachariah Abu Momar, Abu Shamala, Relal Al-Qadra, Merad Avi Murad. These are all Hamas leaders. They're all dead. They're deader than doornails, which is exactly where they belong. I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. I'll get to you right after I finish this topic now, and we can talk about it. The reaction in this country has been strong support for Israel. But we have people, because we're a free country, who have frankly just reverted to sadism themselves. At Cornell University, there's a professor named Russell Rickford. He spoke at a rally after Hamas had gone in and butchered those people. He called Hamas's sadistic attacks, quote, exhilarating and energizing. Students in Cornell, this is a reverse, are now calling on him to be fired. There are more than 24 groups, student groups, 24 different student groups at Harvard put out a statement saying that this was all Israel's fault. At the University of Pennsylvania, the anti-Semitism is so bad among some of the administration that a number of people on their board of visitors and their major contributors say, we're not going near you anymore. You're no damn good. There's a New York club, sort of a nightclub, that on its website posted videos of the attackers and their sadistic doings in Israel. And remember something, I think we are getting much too permissive in this. You remember the Orlando nightclub massacre some years ago? It was a gay nightclub. Guy goes in, walks through grinning, gunning people down, asking them their religion. It turned out that that guy, when 9/11 occurred, he was in high school and he cheered it. He cheered it, even though we'd let him in the country as a refugee. He cheered it. It was ecstatic. And he was called to the principal office. Why didn't they throw handcuffs on him and throw him out of the country? The animal stayed on and he killed 56 people. So the sad thing is this, that most of this country is strongly for Israel. We stand with Israel. However, you have some of these people who take advantage of our freedoms to act sadistically themselves, which is disgusting. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for your show. What I find hard to believe, but it's believable, is the amount of power Trump still has in the Republican Party. He endorses somebody like Jim Jordan, and now he has a possibility to win the Speaker of the House. And it just amazes me that, you know, the world is watching this. And, you know, Biden says one thing and Jordan will say something else. And if you're a foreign country or anybody else, you've got to ask yourself, which way is this country going to go? Is it going to go back to Trump's, or are we going to stay in some kind of democracy? And it's quite chilling. And when you look at the GOP congressional, the GOP's congressional delegation, they back Jim Jordan. You've got to be kidding me on the, but anyway, just my take on this whole thing, Matt, is, you don't look good on a world stage, and I don't know who, what way we're going myself. So thank you.
Yeah, that's an excellent, that's an insightful call, Paul. And here's the deal. People around the world are looking at us, and it doesn't matter that some people in this country are isolationists and think we shouldn't be on the world stage. When you're the wealthiest country in the world, which we are, the wealthiest in history, which we are, the most powerful militarily, which we are, we spend 10 times more on defense than any other country, and we spend as much on defense as all the other countries combined. Our missiles, our Navy, our aircraft carriers, I'll give you an example. We have somewhere between 10 and 12 operational aircraft carriers. I don't know if you've ever been on an aircraft carrier. I have been. I was not stationed on it. I was on it for some purpose that we were doing. And it was in the Mediterranean. We were home ported in Naples, Italy. Now, the complexity of that, it has 5,000 people on it. The commanding officer is like the mayor of a village. I mean, there are people on aircraft carriers that go AWOL, some sailors, and they can't find them because it's like a, you know, an unbelievable apartment complex. They hide here and there. It doesn't happen often, but what I'm saying is it's a very, very elaborate structure. It has to be just perfect. Then these airplanes, these jets are taking off and landing on a rocking, rolling surface in the middle of the ocean. Best pilots in the world. Best pilots in the world. They have catapults and then they have restrainers. The Russians have one aircraft carrier. It's pathetic. It's a disgusting ship. At one time, they broke down in the middle of the Mediterranean. We helped repair them. This was when we were in better times a long time ago. The Chinese, I think, are building their second one. But I've talked to, I'm a member of the Navy League of Milwaukee, and we have speakers, and one of them was an admiral, and he came in, and I asked about it. I said, hey, Chinese are getting a second aircraft carrier. He goes, good luck. They don't know how to operate an aircraft carrier. They don't know the discipline. They don't know the precision. What happens in those countries, Russia, China, the leaders are all thieves. They steal. They're all billionaires. They steal where anything that isn't nailed down, and they steal from their own budgets, including their defense budgets. So an invoice may say that 100 tanks have been bought. Turns out only 10 tanks have been bought, and Putin or Xi will steal the others and hand it out to his running dogs. But more to the point, the supplies they put in the aircraft carrier, steel. The brother-in-law owns the steel company. He waters down the steel so he can steal money himself. The equipment shoddy. To be assigned to a Russian or Chinese submarine is almost a death sentence. When Putin first took over 20 some odd years ago, he was on vacation. Russian submarine sank. I think it was in the Baltic, with I forget how many people on board. And they had 36 hours of air. the United States and the Swedes have the salvage ships that could retrieve it. They both offered right away, we'll go right there and retrieve it. I was stationed on a salvage ship for a while. I was the ops officer of a salvage ship. We have equipment. They know what they're doing. Our guys do. The divers know what they're doing. Putin goes, no, I want Russian salvage ships to pull it up. Well, their salvage ships don't know what they're doing. He stayed on vacation. The mothers begged. They said, now they only have 24 hours of oxygen. Now they only have 18 hours of oxygen. Putin didn't cut his vacation short. He came back when they had like 10 hours of oxygen left, and the Russian salvage ships couldn't do the job, and these guys died. And they're still down there, by the way. They're still down there, by the way. In Chinese submarines, they have accidents all the time. They have fires because their discipline is no good. They don't. It's not a democracy. You know, you don't feel that anybody's going to listen to you. You can get a fair shake. The equipment you're given is defective because the strongman's brother-in-law is the guy that sold it and watered it down. So everybody in the world knows this, and they also know that as screwed up as our democracy is, it's still a democracy. Winston Churchill once said, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the alternatives. So what's happening with Jim Jordan right now is ridiculous. It's disgusting, but it's holding. 21 Republicans said, no way, no way. And I'm thinking that'll hold up. And then I'm thinking that some moderate Republicans will get together with some moderate Democrats and they'll come up with a Republican. And I don't look, forget about Hakeem Jeffries and Pelosi being speaker or Liz Cheney. It's not going to happen. I'd love it. Any one of them. I'd love it. It's not going to happen. You pick a guy like a Tom Cole from Oklahoma, or you pick some other guy who isn't bat feathers crazy and a crook. And there aren't many like that in the Republican caucus. I know it. I know it. It's got to be some people. Somebody must have slipped through by accident who's honest and competent. I mean, there's got to be a couple. Get one of them, get them Democratic votes. Because I can't emphasize enough how important the speaker job is. Not because I give a rat's patoot about him. The speaker doesn't even vote. He doesn't vote. He's supposed to be the speaker for the whole House. You see, they have a majority leader and we have a minority leader. It's not like the Senate where the majority leader runs the thing. The speaker runs the thing. He's an umbrella. He's the whole House. He decides exclusively what they can vote on. So even if 400 people want something out of 435, if he is beholden to the crazies, and the crooks, and the psychopaths, or he's a psychopath or a crazy or a crook, like a gymnasium gym Joe M. Jordan, he's not going to put Ukraine aid on there. He may not even put Israel aid on there. I think right now there's so much pressure he has to, but he'll put conditions and all sorts of weird stuff. Let's knock it off. Jordan will renege on the deal that McCarthy and Biden agreed to, even if 400 other Republicans want it. That's why it's essential Jordan not get it. This Patrick McHenry, I have absolutely no confidence in the guy. Let's get a moderate, quit screwing around, and let's get a speaker. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. But she don't care.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 40. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 64. Overcast skies. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow night. Lows level off around 49. Cloudy skies. Turning cooler Thursday and Friday with highs from the mid-50s to the upper 50s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 40.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Derek Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM.
All the pretty people out drinking, thinking that they...
Welcome back to Matt from Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, we haven't talked about a Wisconsin issue in a long time. Why is that? Because all the actions in Washington, the speaker race and the attack by Hamas against Israel and a lot of other things. But there's some news, and it's news that really ticks me off. The Wisconsin State Senate, the Republicans, it's very gerrymandered. If there were fair maps, the Democrats, the 33 seats in the Senate, Democrats would have about 17 or 18 of them right now. Instead, we have 10. Tell you what, 21 of the Republican senators voted to reject Tony Evers' Wisconsin Election Commission pick. Joe Czarnecki from Milwaukee, friend of mine, former legislator, former clerk, for Pete's sake. There's nobody that knows more about election stuff than this guy. He's honest as the day is long, hardworking. Why they're doing it? Because by rejecting everybody that he proposes, the commission stays 3-2. By rejecting everything that he proposes, the commission stays at 3-2. And I don't know what the plan is to have an outgoing commissioner stay on under the Fred Prehn rule, but they are desperately trying to keep it 3-2 so that the three Republicans, remember, it's divided equally between the two parties, 3-3, by perpetually stabbing Evers' nominee, they keep it to 2 Democrats and 3 Republicans. The Republican Party stands for violence, chaos, and fraud to disrupt the next election. It's as simple as that. The violence was January 6th. The chaos is what's happening. Death threats against poll workers and pulling this kind of stuff. And the fraud is this kind of stuff. One of the most qualified people who would ever serve on the Wisconsin Election Commission. He was an elected legislator for many terms, and he was a clerk. There's nothing you could study at a university that would teach you more about voting than what this guy knows. But they didn't stop there. They voted to fire Megan Wolf. Well, they can't fire Megan Wolf. Megan Wolf is a holdover because 4 commissioners haven't ruled on her status. The 3 Republicans did. Democrats abstained smartly. That means she holds on under the Fred Prehn rule. That's being tested by the Republicans in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And just to make sure they win, they've been threatening Janet Protasiewicz with impeachment now for what? 2 months, ever since she was elected? She took office the first week in August. I mean, she's only been on the bench a little over 2 months. And they keep up this drumbeat. It's not off the table. Lying in the weeds like snakes, ready to pounce if she rules anything in a case they don't like. She has a lot of guts, frankly, putting up with harassment like that. But that didn't end it. Czarnecki didn't end it. Megan Wolf didn't end it. Janet Protasiewicz didn't end it. They also struck down four Evers picks for the Natural Resources Board. Remember Fred Prehn? Fred Prehn stayed on for 18 months, time to get as many forever chemicals into the water of Wisconsin as he could to satisfy Republican donors. And he was proven later to have had secret conversations with LeMahieu, the majority leader, and they cooked it up in the parking lot. They have held up a majority of the Natural Resources Board simply because Evers appointed them, simply to regain control or maintain control as Republicans. They also struck down a medical board chair just for the hell of it. So there is a medical board in the state. The chair didn't get approved for no reason. It was highly qualified. There's a council on domestic abuse. I mean, come on. They struck that Evers appointment down. Look, this isn't controversial stuff. We should have a council on domestic abuse. A domestic abuse should be stopped. It should be addressed. They're playing political games, just doing it to hurt the Democrats. And the thing that really blew me away, there's an agricultural board, and Evers got a call from some business and dairy interests. These are Republican interests. And they proposed somebody. He was qualified. Evers a fair guy. Evers goes, okay, I'll appoint him. They struck him down too. They struck the business / dairy industry recommended appointment to Evers down. But that says to me they'll strike anybody down. They'll strike anybody down. They're trying to spread chaos through our legal system in this state. As far as violence goes, you have death threats against poll workers. You have death threats against election clerks. During COVID, you even had death threats against health commissioners. What's happening is experts are sounding the alarm all over the country. This is happening. And some longtime folks who ran our elections in all 50 states are quitting or they're not re-upping. My mom was a poll worker. She was a poll worker up in the Random Lake, Adel area. And she loved it. You know, got together with her buddies. They made a few bucks. They had lunch. They did a very honest job. People like that, if they're starting to get death threats or rough talk, they're going to go, I don't need this. And then who are you going to have to run the election? So you'll have to pay more money, get inexperienced people. And inexperience can screw things up on election day. It's the only big enterprise I know that suddenly comes together on one day. It's utterly important. It can't be screwed up. They're deliberately doing this to screw it up. They're deliberately doing this to screw it up. With the threat of violence in the background, January 6th on everybody's mind, and fraudulent laws in some places, like I've told you, Texas, where Houston, the biggest county, if the Republican Secretary of State doesn't like the result, he can order a new election. That hasn't been overturned yet. That has not been overturned yet. We come to the end of the show. Great show. Great show as always. Great callers. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Sign off for today.
Bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy.